I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have Billy with us. The Bulls head coach joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Billy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good to be on with you guys.
Well, we love talking to you, and we're delighted to get a chance to kind of follow up with some stuff as you head into the season opener tomorrow. Has there been anything that has surprised you or impressed you about this group heading into the start of the regular season?
Well, I've been really pleased with our guys, the way they've worked in camp. I would say that we probably have had no days, maybe one where I think our effort could have been a little bit better. But outside of that, they've been great. You know, really working to try to establish an identity of how we want to play. And it's been great to see Lonzo be able to come back and participate and see him be able to get out there more and more in practice, and then obviously the last two preseason games. So I really have enjoyed the group. They're really working. They're really, really trying. I do think this time of year for every team, there's always a level of optimism, enthusiasm as the season gets started. We certainly have got a tough stretch, you know, right when we come out of the chute playing at New Orleans and then going into a back-to-back with Milwaukee and OKC. But I know our guys are excited to get the season started, so am I, and, you know, looking forward to what's in front of us. And I think these guys have really put themselves in a position where they're in really, really good shape, and I think we've gotten better at how we want to play.
Great to talk to you, Billy. To what extent has Lonzo Ball's progress this preseason maybe caused you to rethink your rotation, or maybe on a larger scale, your expectations for this year?
Well, one is I was really, really happy for him personally for all that he's gone through and what he's had to deal with. He's a great guy. He's kept unbelievable, you know, spirits about himself. You know, I didn't know what to expect. I did see him down in Miami in August working out, and I thought he looked very good. And then you could see in training camp he looked good. There's things with Lonzo's game where the knee is not going to be a problem because he can use his brain. He's so cerebral and he's so smart. And I think what you saw in those two preseason games he's played is kind of what we've seen in training camp. You know, he, for the minutes he's on the floor, is a productive player. I do think with the way we're trying to play, as fast as we're trying to play, we're going to need to probably have a rotation of about 10. And at times I've had, you know, rotations of 9 generally. But for us, I think we're going to have to go to 10. So we do have to look at, you know, Lonzo, because his rotation is going to be these short rotation and stints. And I give him a lot of credit from a guy that was playing, you know, 35 minutes a game for most of his career. Now he's got to go in and figure out, how do I play 4-minute stints of in and out? And he's done that pretty effectively. But that rotation piece of him playing in those short stints is probably going to be that way for a while.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, and I'm sure that you've spent a lot of time contemplating how that works. In other words, 16 minutes a game, if you're working these 4-minute increments, do you put him on in this particular moment and try to get things, you know, geared up? Do you fit him in sort of carefully as to the flow of the game, or do you look for that sort of jumped up little piece that, you know, I mean, he can hit a three. I've been amazed that he looks as good as he's looked thus far.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. No, I mean, the rotation piece of when and the timing of all that, of him coming into the game, is going to be interesting. I think the thing we've got to figure out with this group is, you know, as they continue to work together, is Josh Giddey is similar to Lonzo in the fact, not that their games are similar, but they're similar in the fact that they're both pass-first guys. Like, they both, that's their game, is their passing. Lonzo does it in a little bit of a different way than Josh does it, and not to say one's better than the other, but one thing that they do is both guys impact the group with their passing. So, you know, do you want to have Josh off when Lonzo's out there? Do you want to make sure that you have really great floor runners with Lonzo because one of his elite skills is the ability to advance the ball up the floor and generate, you know, advantage situations for yourself. You know, we're going to have to find a second unit. One of the things that's, I think, going to be somewhat, I don't want to say of a challenge, but with as fast as we're trying to play, I don't know if guys are going to be able to play a rotation of 9 or 10 or 11 minutes, you know, because that's a long time to absorb that kind of intensity level, to play at that intensity level. So, you know, that's why I think the 10th person can help. And what we don't want to have happen is, well, guys says, well, my rotation's 9, 10 minutes. I got to pace myself here. We are going to have to play fast, and we're going to have to be able to try to win free throw line and free throw line. There are going to be times where athletically and physically we don't have the length and the size to deal with certain teams, and we've got to do it through conditioning and trying to wear teams down and just being in physically great shape. And how we mix Lonzo into all that will be important, but I do think you want to put him in a situation where the guys that are out there, because passing is his thing, that he can really, really utilize his skill set to help the group.
Billy, I know it's only preseason, but only the Celtics attempted more three-pointers per game than you did. You guys shot 48 threes per game on average. That's a dramatic increase from last year, where I think you were right around 32. Obviously, your transformation offensively is taking shape. Number one, is that sustainable? And secondly, is there a number that you go into each game thinking, we want to shoot this many threes?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's happening right now is the league's playing faster, right? And there's always a sweet spot, right? Like, you don't want to play at such a breakneck pace that you're turning the ball over, you're taking ill-advised shots, you can't get back in transition defense, and you're putting yourself in harm's way, right? But for us and our team, you know, we're not going to be the biggest, the strongest, the most physical. But what we've got to be is we've got to be in elite shape, and we've got to be able to run. Now, if you look at all the analytics, the best quality shots the first 7 seconds of the shot clock. From the first 7 seconds of the shot clock, the shooting percentages in the NBA go down. And then the last, you know, 7 seconds of the clock, that's the lowest percentage shot across the board, right? So everybody's trying to run. I think the sustainability part is we've got to be able to sustain that pace. That doesn't mean that we need to shoot quick, right? But it means we need to generate good shots. So I think if you look at the game, the most valued shots in the game are layups, anything at the rim, and the corner three, besides the free throw line, right? I'm saying besides the corner three and the rim. You've got to get to those spots. So, yes, we've taken, you know, the second most threes in the league, but I think you got to look a little bit deeper. We're also second in the league in generating in this preseason corner threes, and we were top five in the league getting to the rim. So when you start to look at your shot profile, what you want to look at is, are you generating shots in those best areas of the floor, which is at the rim and in the corners? To your point, if you're coming down and the majority of threes are going to be above the break threes, that's just the way it is. But you can, through penetration, getting to the rim, playing fast, playing downhill, attacking the paint, generate spray outs and kick outs that are going to be good shots. There's no question that most of your threes, if they can come off inside to out, dribble penetration, transition, those are your highest quality threes. So there's definitely a learning curve for our team of the kind of threes that we want to take. But I've been pretty pleased. I think our guys have done a good job with their shot selection and have moved the ball very well. And I think that's how we're going to have to play, you know, for us to, you know, try to generate a shot profile that's going to give us a chance, because that was one of the things we were up against. You know, we weren't a team that took a lot of threes. We had a lot of guys that were elite in the mid-range. You know, DeMar is, you know, a Hall of Fame player, and that's where he's elite. But what you end up doing is you're battling the analytics battle, right, where all of a sudden you sit there and say, well, some team's taking 50 threes and you're taking 25 threes. It's hard to overcome that. Well, the way you overcome it is by getting to the free throw line, by offensive rebounding, and, you know, generating fouls. So, you know, there's formulas that you have to look at, but I think as long as our shot quality is good and we're getting to the paint and generating corner threes, I've felt pretty good about the profile of this group so far.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I was talking to a friend of mine who's a big NBA fan, and he said to me, "Do you remember the draft?" Of course I remember the draft. Who was drafted first? And I thought, oh, my God. And I had to go look it up. It was Zachary Richechet, and then a Frenchman followed by the Australian. And I'm like, oh, my. I mean, that'll come to me as the season goes on. But you got a good one. I mean, I think what we've seen from Matas Buzelis has been impressive. He seems like he's got a little swag. He seems like he's got a lot of skill.
Fearless.
And he seems relentless and fearless.
I agree with you guys 100%. And I think the biggest thing for a person's growth that's young has got to be a fearlessness of not being traumatized by mistakes. I've seen so many young players that play the game to not make mistakes or play the game to be perfect. And it's impossible. It's an imperfect game. We're imperfect people. There's nothing perfect about anything. The one thing about Modest is he's not afraid. I don't want to say to take risks, but he's not afraid to put himself out there physically. He's not afraid to put himself out there in terms of taking some chances. He really, I think, feels deep inside that part of his learning curve has got to be through making mistakes. And I think that's a healthy mindset to have, where you're not going in there saying, okay, I don't want to screw anything up. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to do too much. And then you're kind of floating around. We need to get his athleticism into the game. We need to get his running into the game. You know, he's obviously got, you know, an incredibly live body. But I do think he will get better because he puts himself out there. And there's a fearlessness to him. There's a part of him that, you know, is not really worried about it. You know, he's just like, okay, it's going to be information inventory for me to take in to figure out what I should and shouldn't do the next time. He moves on from things pretty quickly. He does hold himself accountable. I think one of the things that's interesting with him, and it's really rare for a lot of young players, I see it so many times, young players get wrapped up in what they're doing offensively, and his whole focus is wants to be better defensively. You know, he doesn't worry about the offense. He's worried about how he can get better defensively. So I'm very encouraged with him, and you know, he's got a long way to go. There's a huge learning curve there, and part of it is he's so young. He's got to develop a routine. He's got to develop habits. He's got to know how to eat and sleep, take care of his body, how to, you know, pre-practice, post-practice, pre-game, post-game. There's so much stuff he's got to learn. And, you know, last time I was on with you guys, we had talked about the development piece. Like, everybody looks at the development between the lines. Those are development things that he's going to have to work himself through this season.
So, Billy, Zach LaVine was gone for a long time, and the first thing he did when he came back on media day was he took the microphone and he took over, and he established the parameters of what he wanted to talk about, what he wanted to say. And I thought that was an interesting step forward for a guy that's been a consummate pro. Working him back into the rotation has been, I think, seamless, it looks like. But I think there's always going to be the conversation surrounding Zach LaVine, the things that he can't control. How would you describe the dynamic now and how different it is from before?
You know, I think there was a lot that Zach, you know, had to absorb and take in, you know, and obviously I'm not privy to all the conversation with his representation and the front office and those kind of conversations, right? But when I've had conversations with Zach, I've always enjoyed them. I think they've always been honest and open and straightforward, and I think the both of us have worked hard on our relationship. And I really like Zach as a person. He's a really good person. I think the one thing that I would tell you that I always felt in the off season with Zach that happened was when I would go meet with him, he would always, I think, take time, you know, after the season ended and reflect about, you know, how he could get better or what he could do better, or maybe how we could help him as a staff more, help the team more. You know, he was very reflective in that way. And, you know, I think probably his you know, preseason press conference was very reflective, you know, for him. He probably reflected. He's been great. You know, I think the first thing is, in fairness to him, is he's come in healthy. You know, the last couple of training camps, he's not been right, in my opinion. Like, I've looked at him and seen him in camp, and I'm like, he's got a long way to go to get where he's normally been. When I saw him in August and then saw him in September, like, I knew he was in as good a shape as anybody on our team, if not the best shape anybody on our team. And you know, he's a funny guy. I said, Zach, I mean, you look like you're in great shape. He said, well, I've had since February to work out. What am I going to do? You know, so he's got himself in great shape, and his legs are under him. And I think with the way we're trying to play, I think it helps him. You know, I think the running, he's an elite runner, an elite finisher at the basket. He can attack the lane. He can get guys shots with his passing. He's obviously an elite 3-point shooter. So the sustainability, that we got to do that not only for him, but it takes advantage of what Lonzo and what Josh Giddey can do. It takes advantage of what, you know, Zach can do and what Kobe can do. So he's been great, Zach. He's worked hard, and he's been great in training camp. I think he's played exceptionally well. You know, if you look at his numbers in the preseason, I know he's not in a normal rotation in terms of playing a normal allotment of minutes, but he's done a really good job all the way around.
Billy, great stuff. Thanks a ton for jumping on. Best of luck in the year. We'll be following you and hope to talk soon.
Good luck, Billy.
No, pleasure. Yep, thank you. Pleasure to be on with you guys. Thank you.
That is Billy Donovan, fired up, you know, as he should be. Good stuff.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.